Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Coming to the Word today, it is a week known as Holy Week. Holy Week is 7 days leading up to Easter. It's also known, today is known as Palm Sunday. Why? Because it commemorates Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So today, because it's Palm Sunday, I thought that, you know, I'd love us to gather and speak about the King of all kings. Speak about King Jesus, the Peace King. So that's the title of my message. Those of you that are looking for titles, that's the title of my message. And I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew 21, Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. Now, just for time, I'm not going to read every single word. I'm just going to highlight a couple of things. But what is happening here is Jesus and the disciples were drawing near to Jerusalem. They come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sends two of his disciples into Jerusalem, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, important, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. If you've got your physical Bibles here, which we recommend, underline those words, a donkey tied and a colt with her. Then he says, loose them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, he says, tell them the Lord has need of them. So, all of this was done, this is verse 4, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled what the prophet had spoken, which was, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Underline those words, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. Then verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt, they laid those clothes or the outer garments on them and set him on the garments, yes? And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the outer garments on the road. Now, laying your clothes down was a sign of honor. It was a sign of submission back in the days, sign of recognition of kingship. So this was happening, all right? And some cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road, which is a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of declaration of honor. Okay, verse 9. Then the multitudes who went before him and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Everybody say moved. No. We need more power. Moved. There we go. All the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Father, we thank you for this word. We ask, Holy Spirit, you'll reveal your innermost mysteries to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. We have just witnessed the number of royalty, like in physical royalty, you know, the king and the queen and the other, the Danish king and queen coming through and the prince and the princess coming through. But when King Charles was crowned king back in the day, Prince Charles was crowned king back in the day, there was a lot of pomp and a lot of pageantry. Everything was intentional and symbolic. And, you know, there was a lot of tradition. It was loaded with tradition. But everything, all the detail that there was led to identifying Charles as king. A lot was changed from his mother to him because it was him now. This Palm Sunday procession was a procession of another kind. You see, at first glance, it looks like a moment of triumph because there was pageantry, there was clothes being laid down, there were palms being waved and crowds shouting. It looks like a moment of triumph, but there was something deeper in the scripture that it was not just a procession, it was actually a prophetic declaration of who Jesus is as king. Matthew 21 verses 1 to 3 reveals to us that this king is the king who comes set apart. Go into the village ahead of you. You'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. He sends his disciples with precise instructions. Go, find, enter, untie, bring here. And if somebody stops you, there's a lot of detail. You would agree everything has been thought through. Now, there is important detail in Scripture that we miss when we read Scripture just like a nice feel-good story, which we do, especially with this. But who knows? Scripture is full of details. I said it in our welcome party outside today. I said, you know what? God has many mysteries in here. He hides them for us to find them. It's our job to find them. But some of that detail that we normally miss, I want to address today. And the first bit of detail is this. There was a donkey tied and a colt with her. We would just assume with this story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem that Jesus entered the city on the back of a donkey. The back of a donkey referring to the adult donkey, to the mama donkey. But actually the detail is the colt with her played the bigger role. The colt with her played the most important role because this king rode in on the colt, the young donkey. But there's even more detail in Scripture when we dig a little bit further, because the Apostle Mark, he comes in the Gospel of Mark, and he adds in Mark 11, 2, a colt which no one has ever ridden. Interesting. I don't know if you knew this. The significance of that is, in the Old Testament, animals used for holy purposes were often unused, untouched, set apart. In Numbers 19, 2 and Deuteronomy 21, 3, we read both times of a heifer being used that had previously not been used for ordinary work. So with Mark's addition, we can see that this story signifies a set apart moment. This story signifies that this is actually a holy procession. Jesus is not just borrowing a donkey. He's not borrowing transport. He's not lazy and doesn't want to walk into the city. No. This shows us that there is a holy procession happening. And if we follow on from there, we get even more detail that you've got to stop and think about. You see, this colt, it says in Mark, has never been ridden. Now, I don't know if there's anyone here that has worked with horses or donkeys. A colt or a foal that has never been ridden just doesn't allow you to get on its back. Am I right? It's very much like a rodeo, bucking and prancing and trying to get you off the back, all right? So we have to understand that this detail, which no one has ever ridden, reveals to those who witness it, and it should reveal to us as well, the sovereign authority of this man named Jesus. He's not just a man. You see, a colt, a young donkey, a not yet broken in young donkey submits to him. He is a king who's not just a king. He has been set apart. He already has authority over everything, even a colt. But there's more detail. Zechariah, around 500 BC, gives a very detailed prophetic word to God's people. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey." And that's where we stop. No. Let's put it in context. We're going to put it on the board. This is actually what 9:9 is. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He's just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." You see, Zechariah prophesies in 500 BC, but in Matthew, which is now around 33 AD. This is 530 years later, that prophetic word comes into being. Jesus did not randomly ride on a donkey. This was not a last minute decision. This wasn't Jesus improvising. This was a 500 year old prophecy been fulfilled down to the last detail. Come on. And you tell me there's some people who say this God thing is all a myth. 530 odd years later, it comes into fulfillment. But there's more detail. Because this riding the colt is very significant in the revelation of what kind of king Jesus is. You see, because in the ancient world, kings rode horses when they came for war. Kings rode donkeys when they came in peace. I don't know if you knew that. But you got to note with this king that we're talking about, he didn't ride a horse. Neither did he ride a donkey. He rode the colt of the donkey. He was the humble, peace-bringing king. The statement being made by his arrival on the colt is, I am king, but I'm not the kind you are expecting. You see, this act was deliberate. This act was a prophetic sign. It was a prophetic sign of his identity as the humble yet powerful king who was entering not to reign in the natural, but to fulfill scriptures and reign in the supernatural. In the supernatural. Which shows us he was a king with a different mission. He was a king with a different mission. Matthew 21, 8 to 9. It says this. The crowd erupts in praise. Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David. Yes, this is our Savior. Yes, this is the one who we've been waiting for. This is the one that will bring change. They knew the prophetic word. They've been waiting for this sign to happen. They lay their cloaks down, the symbol of submission. They wave palms, which is a symbol of victory and nationalism. They shout, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Sounds glorious, right? Sounds amazing. And it is. But the important details to note is that when this crowd cries out, Hosanna to the Son of David, they are actually praying one of the Psalms. They're praying Psalms 118:25, which goes as follows. Save now, I pray, O Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. You see, that word Hosanna comes from the Hebrew Hoshiana, which means to save, please. Save us now. There's desperateness in that word. Save us now. Save, please. The word Son of David is a messianic title. It means the promised king from David's line. Combine the two together, you see they're looking at this guy as the Savior that's riding on this donkey. They're not just quoting a psalm. They're actually applying this psalm to Jesus. God, save us now. Save us through this king. Save us through this Messiah. But here's the tension. They're quoting scripture, but they're misunderstanding its fulfillment. They're crying, Hosanna, save us now. But they actually have a very specific kind of salvation in mind. Do it my way, Lord. Do it now. It needs to look like this. Sound familiar? You see, they're expecting political liberation. They're expecting the overthrow of Rome. They want immediate victory over oppression. They're looking for a natural victory, a conquering king, a problem-solving king, a political or cultural king. They want a king that conquers the natural. But Jesus comes as a king about to conquer the supernatural. They want deliverance from their physical enemy, Rome and the Romans. But Jesus comes to deliver from separation from God, sin. They want victory and they want it now. But Jesus is establishing a victory that will come through the cross for all eternity. You see, Jesus the King, that King is the only King who saves, not merely from earthly struggles, but from eternal damnation. We can close the books and go home. Because that's got to sink in. The King, that King, who came in on the colt, doesn't save us merely from earthly struggles,
but from eternal damnation. Eternal separation from God himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Mind-blowing, yeah? Really mind-blowing. But the church, listen. The question for us today is not, do you welcome Jesus? Or will you welcome Jesus? The question is, do you welcome the King as he truly is? Do you welcome the King as he truly is? One of my favorite songs in this house is King in the Room. The King is in the room. Great, great lyrics. They're going to be on the board. I love it. Lord, we enthrone you upon our praise. The King is in the room. There's freedom and life anywhere you reign. Jesus, we bow only to you. I wish that was true all the time. We're laying down all of our crowns. The King is in the room. The King is in the room. Then it says, fear has to flee. Shame has to leave before the King. Before the King. Chains have to break. Dry bones awake. Wow, these are amazing words. These are powerful things. Hold on. Is it possible for us to sing the right songs, say the right words, which these are, celebrate Jesus outwardly, but still misunderstand who he truly is? Reality is all that should happen because he is in the room. His word says where two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst of. He's here. He's here. That should be happening. Why am I saying this? Well, you just got to look at Scripture. Matthew 21:10, it says, when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Say moved. You know, more power. Moved. Saying what? They're saying this. Who is this? You know what that word moved is? The Greek word which means shaken like an earthquake. Hold on. Let's take that. All the city was shaken like an earthquake. And they said, who is this? You see, when the true King enters a place, he disrupts the city. Why? Because when the King arrives, something supernatural happens. False expectations are exposed. Superficial faith is challenged. Comfortable religion is shaken. Here's a question for you as a church. Has Jesus truly disrupted your life? Has his presence moved you? Shaken you like an earthquake? If not, may I humbly propose that maybe you haven't truly encountered him yet. May I also propose and pray that you do encounter him completely. You see, I believe when this King that we're talking about today, the King of all kings, when he truly enters your life, it will not look like you hope it would. Because he will challenge your assumptions. He will confront your idols. He will redefine your priorities. He will address insecurities. Most of the church have. He will bring to the surface unforgiveness. You see, this King doesn't come to fit into your life. He comes to reign over it. He doesn't come to fit into my life. He comes to reign over it. So this moment then, reveals to us the true King. In this moment, the true King is revealed. We read further. And when he had come into the city, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Who is this, they are asking. Who is this is the most important question in this scripture. Who is this? You would think they would say, he is the Savior. He is the King of the Jews. He is the Messiah. But notice what the crowds answer. This is the prophet Jesus. This is that guy from Nazareth of Galilee. Wait. Matthew highlights something here. is a bit of a contradiction, a bit of a hesitation. Their answer is true because that's who Jesus is. But what happened? What happened? It was just moments before they were shouting, Son of David, King, Messiah, Deliverer. Now all of a sudden they're changing and they're going, oh no, no, he's the prophet from Nazareth. Prophet. Prophet is a teacher. Prophet is a voice, a messenger. You see, church, they were celebrating him like a king, but they were describing him just like a prophet. Here's the moment for us to see. You and I can get caught up in the excitement of Jesus and still not fully recognize who he is. The crowd is loud. Their theology was shallow. They were passionate. But there wasn't clarity. There wasn't clarity. Can we be real for another moment? Can I just bring the focus onto us? The church, you and I, the church, the focus onto us. How often does that happen in us? We sing, we lift our hands, we feel something real happen in worship, like even today. We go home, pull in, and I go, oh my gosh, worship was so amazing, so amazing. But if somebody asked, who is this? Who is this Jesus? Would our answer match our praise? You see, because praise shouldn't just be about in here. Praise should be about out there. You know, if we're in here and we're passionate and we're praising him and, you know, we're worshiping him here and we walk out there on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday and we get asked this question at work or at school, who is this that you go and worship every Sunday? Why do you always go to church? Well, your answer match your praise on the Sunday? It's a good question. It's a very good question. It's a good question that I ask myself as well. But I come to tell you today, church, Jesus did not enter Jerusalem to be admired as a prophet. He came as Jesus, the true King. Not just to inspire us, but to rule and reign and redefine our lives. From orphans to sons and daughters. So once we were lost, but now we are found. You see, when you misunderstand who Jesus is, you will misrespond to what he does. Whoa, JJ, this is really getting intense. Why do you say that? Because in this very scripture, in this very time, the same crowd, the very same crowd who shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, 5 days later, were the same crowd who fanatically screamed, Crucify him, crucify him. You realize that? Can I repeat? When you misunderstand who Jesus is, you will misrespond to what he does. So the question is not, are you excited about Jesus? The question is, do you actively see him for who he is? Not just a prophet, not just a helper, not just a voice among many, but King, Messiah, Lord. When you see him rightly, you don't just wave branches, you lay down your life. You lay down your life. When you see him right, you lay down everything. There was a question asked in 34 AD by multitudes of people, and that question was, who is this? Church, that question still lingers today in 2026. I bring it to you. I bring you that same question. I'm not asking, well, what does Numa say, or what does JJ say, or what does Paulina say? I'm not asking, what does the crowd say? Or what does culture say? What does religion portray? No, no, no. I'm asking you personally, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Don't fob me off. Don't fob this question off. Don't push it aside. Oh, yeah, now I've been in the church for 20 years. No, even if you've been in the church for 20 years, even if you've been in the church for 5 years, or 40 years, or 50, or 60, however long you've been, I want you to ask yourself the question, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? You see, if he's just a prophet, you can listen to him when it suits you. If he's just a teacher, you can agree with him and still live your own life, which I think the church basically does. The majority of them. Not here at East. No. Not at all. Neither in the West. Not in the West either. Neither in the West as well. I'm digging a hole deeper. If he's just your provider, then it's like going to a pantry. You can get the things you need when you need them. But if he's your true king, you don't just admire him, you submit everything to him. You don't just celebrate him in moments. You surrender to him with your whole life. With your whole life. So this Palm Sunday, I wanted you to ask yourself, am I praising Jesus for who he is or who I want him to be? Have I welcomed him as king or just as the helper? Have I surrendered everything or am I just going through the motions of celebrating? You see, the crowd welcomed him with branches, but they missed him in their hearts. Come on, church. May the church, but may we as the Newman East family, may this never be true of us. May this never be true of you and me. May this never be true of this house. That we welcome him with branches and with praise and with dancing, but we miss him. Who he truly is in our hearts. Because he doesn't just want to be, he wants to be. He doesn't just want a piece of you, he wants all of you. He doesn't just want the good little bits, he wants even the ugly bits. Because in his presence you can be transformed. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? It is a big word. It's a big word to bring. But here at East, we don't tickle the ears. We give scripture. This is scripture. Scripture's full of details. Details coming. Ouch. My wife's sitting here, I'm hearing her going, ouch, ouch. As I was writing this, I was ouching. Even this morning, as I was reading through it again, I was ouching. I actually repented before I even walked out of my office. Because what I'm saying here, I'm using the word you, because if I use the word we, then we sort of like hide under the we. We're like, well, he's not talking to me. He's only talking to, he's talking to Johnny next to me. He's talking to my husband. Yeah. Are you listening, husband? Are you listening, wife? No. I'm talking to you, but I'm you, three fingers, pointing back at me. This applies to me as well. You see, my prayer is this. My prayer is that the church, capital T, capital C, especially the Newman East family, that we will say, Jesus, you're not only just a voice in my life, you are Lord over my life. Lord over my life, over everything. You are Lord, you're not just a voice. You are the true King. The true King. The only one that can save me from damnation. Life without you. He's the only one. Nothing else can. Not your business, not your money, not even your worship. Only Jesus can. And Friday and Sunday we'll be focusing on one of the most important dates in the Christian calendar. My prayer is this. That not only Newman East, my prayer is the church. Doesn't matter if they are, or let me say, the church, the gathering of the church, doesn't matter if they're in cathedrals that are centuries and centuries old or under trees somewhere in Africa. They do. In Africa, they meet under trees, have church under trees. But my prayer is, doesn't matter where they meet, doesn't matter what denomination they come under, be it Catholic, Church of Christ. You use the word. Yeah. As long as in Jesus' eyes that there's a gathering,
My prayer is that the power of God will fall upon them. The power of God. That the Holy Spirit, that there will be a Pentecostal revival, like in the upper room, in every gathering. That we will see Him as the true King. This country needs you and me to be believers that believe He is the King of Kings. He is the true King. There is nobody else. There's nobody else that can save this nation from damnation. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And He suffered. He suffered. He walked the Via Dolorosa. He smashed. They say He fell on those cobblestones, that there wasn't no unbroken bone in His face. But He was determined. Determined. He was determined. So this morning, I don't want anybody walking around. Just remain. God is busy working in our hearts. I want to pray. I want to pray for us. I was going to call out certain groups, but I'm not. I want to pray for the church. So if you consider yourself part of the church, I'd like you to stand. Because I want us to confess. I'm going to confess on behalf of us. And I'm going to ask God right now that He will come in a fresh and a new way. Just there where you are, open your hands. Open your hands. Close your eyes. Focus on Him. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. We come before You. We come before You as a family. We come before You as Your church. Not as a crowd caught up in a moment, but as people who want to see You clearly. Father, I stand in the gap this morning and I confess, as I did this morning, forgive us for times where we've reduced You. Forgive us for times where we've made You smaller than who You are. Forgive us for times when we've actually just called You teacher or helper or prophet. We've actually held back calling You the King of Kings. Today we say, we declare, You are the King. The rightful King. Today we lay down more than our branches. Today we lay down our pride. We lay down before You our control. We lay down before You our plans, our preferences. We lay down those things of, God, I want You to come, but I'll need You to come this way or that way or this way or that way. Lord, we lay that all down and we say, Jesus, have it all. Have it all. Jesus, be the King over our hearts. Be the Lord over our decisions. Be the one who leads us, the one who shapes us, the one who guides us, the one who develops us, the one who sends us. Be the one. Lord, Lord Jesus, we place You on at the throne of our hearts. We place You on the throne of our finances. We place You on the throne of our health. We place You on the throne of our families. We place You on the throne of our marriages. We place You on the throne of our communities, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that You will infuse us with Your presence like never before, that where we go, Lord God, the King goes. And where the King comes, Lord, cities are moved because of Your presence. Father, as we go and as we leave this place, let our lives reflect not just an excitement about You, but a surrender to You. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.